One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You're listening to The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here at Studio Jeans doing it at your mom's house. I'm Ryan Sickler. You can follow me on social media at Ryan Sickler. My website's RyanSickler.com. Go over there, sign up for the email list. Just want to say thank you to everyone out there. All the messages, all the love. I appreciate everything. We're going to keep bringing this show. We're going to keep highlighting the lowlights. You ask all the time, what's the best way to help? The best way to help is to engage with the sponsors, and a lot of you are doing that, so thank you very much. That's how we can keep doing this thing. And the website for the show is thehoneydewpodcast.com. Go there. That's where you can get the merch, the links to social media for The Honeydew, all that. So I always say, if you're new to the show, what we do here is we highlight the lowlights, okay? These are the stories behind the storytellers, and it's a pleasure to bring you today's guest, first time here on The Honeydew. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rachel O'Brien. Welcome to The Honeydew.
I'm just clapping for myself.
You should.
What a narcissist.
You should clap. No. You clap for yourself, goddammit. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me here.
Will you please, before we begin, plug anything you'd like?
Well, I'm guessing this is not going to come out by the time I do, but I'll say it anyways.
Say
because I like to brag. November 7th, I'm headlining Punchline Philly. November 8th, two shows at the Queen Wilmington in Delaware. That's November 8th. So if it comes out before that, which probably not because that's next week. And then I got a podcast, Be Here for a While. So yeah, that's about it.
Great.
Yeah.
And your calendar is on your website.
Yeah,
and all
RachelO'BrienComedy.com.
There you go.
Yeah.
So you had reached out and you sent a few really interesting things that I'm excited to talk to you about. But first, let's just start with the basics. Where are you from? Where did you grow up? What was that like?
Okay, cool. But I did reach out originally to have you on my podcast, too.
You did.
You're clearly very busy.
I know.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. But
okay.
I want to do it.
Okay.
And I will do it.
Okay,
I'm going to do it.
Thanks.
Okay.
I just put you on the spot in front of everyone.
No problem.
Okay, so where I'm from a small town called Astoria, Oregon. It's the Goonies town. It's the only way anyone really knows
that.
Also, Kindergarten Cop. We had that there. It was a big filming time.
Did you live there during the filming of Goonies? Did
yeah.
Did you get to go see any of it in town? Or
no, I wasn't born for Goonies. I was in kindergarten when Kindergarten Cop was filmed at my school.
It was actually at your school?
Yeah, and so I got to be like a featured extra, but they cut my scene, so that's too bad.
Is that real?
Like, we got like paid for it. Like, I got carried out by a firefighter.
You got your first taste of show business in kindergarten,
yeah.
Huh? The real way.
I was like, they didn't know talent.
We're going to pay you, but you're not being in that guy.
You're going to get a signed autograph from
Kindergarten
Arnold.
Kindergarten Cop, isn't that boys have a penis, girls have a vagina?
Yeah.
Isn't that movie?
Yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger, yeah. And I can't remember who else. So yeah, it was like a movie town a little bit, but that's like kind of all we had that was cool. Other than that, it was like the town like looks like when I go back, I'm like, it looks like it's still the 70s. Like even the cars parked there, it's like it hasn't evolved much. And it's like kind of a hick town. All my friends wore camouflage. Sometimes I did too.
I love there are rednecks everywhere.
Yeah.
People think there are just rednecks in the South. Rednecks everywhere.
Oh yeah, and I feel like in my town people like developed a fake redneck accent. I'm like, you don't talk like that normally. Like,
I'm from South Orange.
Yeah. They're like,
what?
I'm a thrower in reverse. I'm like, you didn't say that just because you're hunting right now. Like it's not. But I mean I kind of bought into it. Like I drove a lifted 4Runner.
You did?
Oh yeah. Pretty dorky. But it was like, you know, it was just like real kind of good old boy. Like the activity on the weekends was looping, which is where you'd like put a case of beer in your truck and then you'd just drive around like a lake through logging roads. So it's like drinking and driving was basically
with a bunch of people in the back.
Yeah. So, so it was really safe, you know.
One time we went to a group of us went to see, we were just talking about this too. We went to see AC/DC at the Capitol Center in DC and we had a keg in the back of the car and my friend had a 4Runner too. And there were about four or five of us in the back and not ever even considering like, what if somebody rear ends us and we have to get, you know, even if they tapped us and we have to pull over, they're going to be like, hey, six kids in a keg just got out of the back
just,
of
the like, stuff the cans in your it's a keg.
Yeah.
Also just dangerous too.
It just like amazes me that any human being gets past the age of like 17.
Yeah, I think especially cap, in all the small towns too.
Yeah.
Well, but then again, I feel like rich kids in big cities, like they were doing coke and stuff. Like that wasn't big in my town. I mean, until I left, now everyone does heroin, but that's, you know, that came later. But
every city's got it now though.
Yeah, it's terrible. Terrible. But like for the small per capita of my school, like like the good like athletes and stuff that I went to school with that had like had so much promise, like, you know, they're not dead, but they're still probably using.
Right.
But yeah, so it was just like kind of one of those, you know, hick towns. And my dad was a lumberjack or a logger. He owned a logging company, but he originally started like, you know, just being a logger and then worked his way up.
So when you say being a logger, was he the guys I see like just chainsawing these logs all day long? And like I see these videos of like sometimes the tree will fall the wrong way and all
shit. My dad had a an employee that that he had to carry him out of the woods. Something bad like that happened. Like it's considered in the top like five most dangerous jobs in the world.
I would think so, right?
Like when I was little, I remember like my dad was sawn into a tree and I can't remember what it kicked back off of, but saw kicked back. Came chainsaw straight through his leg to the bone.
Fuck.
Yeah. But you'll hear a lot of these stories of my dad where, like, they put a cast on him and he was like, nah, I'm going to go back to work, cut the cast off, went back. Like, where he just doesn't. He's like
the
true.
He's a fucking logger. He's a man.
He's a man. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so that's what he did. But my mom, it's so weird because it's like, I grew up in like this, like, kind of like hick place, but my mom is from like an Italian family. Like, she's first generation from, like, and.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And who knows how many of the stories are true. I mean, they are true. Like, my great-grandfather was a 4-star general, lived in the Chiranelli Palace, and, like, so, like, fancy Italian shit. So, my mom that wasn't, like, raised there, but it's just sort of, like, what, you know, so that's the way she acts. Like, even if we didn't have money when I was younger, but, like, it looked like we had money. Like, she knows how to make things look like, you know. So, we were never really in that world, and she made my dad, like, my dad would have probably lived at his duck shack for the rest of his life if he didn't marry my mom.
He has a duck shack.
Yeah, he does. It's his little hunting place, you know. So.
Did he build it? Does he also build?
Yeah, I think he built it, but I'm sure other people helped him. He's not, like, real handy like that.
But they're cutting down these monsters.
They're huge. There's a video that, like, from the, God, probably the 80s, I think, that someone put on a DVD for my dad. And there's a tree that, it looks like it's like probably 10 feet in diameter, maybe. And I'm like, I don't even know how they got through that. It's like, they're just like winding on it for like a while.
You see carved out where cars drive through and shit.
Yeah. Oh, what they used to do, there's a bunch of pictures of my dad growing up where they cut a wedge out of it. That's how you cut the tree down. So you cut a wedge out with the chainsaw and you put these little orange pegs in. I can cut a tree down. And then you hammer it with an axe and then it tips over. Well, there's that big wedge out of it for a while. And so they would go lay in it.
Fuck
and take pictures,
that.
And I'm like, what if the wind caught it wrong?
Yeah.
Okay. But it was like, that's how they did it, just prove that they're manly,
oh,
I guess.
Fuck.
Drink Rainier beer, I don't know. Yeah. So my dad, I just grew up with like a, you know, and I was a tomboy. My dad used to call me Junior because he had two girls and I was the only one willing to like hang.
Hilarious. You're Junior.
Well, I wasn't a cute kid. I mean, I was like, I had phases. I mean, there was a fat phase and I was just weird. Like, I look back at photos and every other girl would be like in the ballet photo, like posing, and I would be like doing all this weird stuff. And it's like, calm down, Rachel.
What was your fat phase? What age were you?
That was like, I guess maybe like maybe 11 or 12 to like 15. But like, I didn't know I was fat. Like, I thought I was gorgeous.
You know,
like,
what?
Like, I thought I should try out for a pageant. Like,
but as you should think.
Like, I've seen photos. I look back. I'm wearing skin-tight leopard pants and, like, a tank top. And I'm like, Mom, why did you let me wear that? She's like, I thought you were pretty.
But do you look at it? You look at it now and you say, oh, I was overweight for that
age. I weighed almost 180 pounds, maybe 200. That's the last time I weighed myself. I was eating two plates of nachos minimum right when I got home from school. Like, it was no denying it. But like, I didn't know.
When did you realize that, not looking back at it, but when then did you realize, like, okay, I should probably not do that?
Well, I think I, like, would realize, like, there was, like, a kid that was, like, really short. This kid came up to me, and he's like, why do you wear such tight shirts when you're so fat? And I'm like, why are you so short, buddy? Like, I was, like, my response is, like, and I was just like, I don't care. I'm from a small town. My parents are fairly successful. I got great hair. Lifted forerunner.
I could cut a tree down.
Like, life's not that bad.
Yeah.
And then someone did put a Think Thin magnet on my locker. But I also remember looking that. And
somebody did that?
But I remember not crying. I remember just being like, it's kind of a well-timed joke, and I probably know who did that. Like, it didn't. Like, I had so much fun just, like, laughing with my best friend and just being a weirdo that, like, it wasn't like, I didn't go to a big enough high school where there was, like, a popular crowd. So it wasn't like, you know, the cheerleaders were, like, missing teeth probably at my school. Like, yeah, it wasn't like, oh, I want to be that. It was like, I'm just being a kid. But I think the first time I realized it is I probably just, like, looked at a magazine and was like, oh, that's what, oh, they have a waistline. That's, like, that's, got it. And then I toned down the nacho eating a little bit.
That's good that your mom supported it too. Like, never said anything to you about it.
No, and I think that's super healthy. Like, I'm glad they didn't. Like, I feel like the girls that grow up with, like, people telling them, like, you got to be this, like, they're fucked up for life with that kind of stuff. Like,
yeah, a friend of mine.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
He was telling his daughter. His daughter said to me, she goes, he thinks I'm fat. And I was like, no. And he's like, I do not think you're fat. I just don't think you're as active as you should be. You should be, is what he said to her. And then I would catch her throughout the day, like checking her shirt, like making sure. Aww. And I was like, oh. So I told him, I was like, she's definitely thinking about it. So yeah, you might want to just,
I think there's just
put
a
her
way
in a fucking sport and don't say something about,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think,
like,
that's,
we're
my
playing
mom,
soccer, guys.
Yeah, like, my mom used to go for runs and she'd ask me to go with her, yeah, and I'd make it about a quarter mile, yeah, before I was like, I think I have asthma. She's like,
my nachos gonna get soggy. I'll see you back at the house.
I layered those perfectly. I can't let them go to waste. I also used to make individual sized bowls of cookie dough.
Okay, so do you ever look back on that and think, why you were eating like that? Was there something going on? Was it, you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Probably.
Like, you ever look back at that? Because I have an unhealthy relationship with food. I will eat when I'm happy, sad,
yeah,
to celebrate, like, just whatever, bored. I just eat.
Yeah.
It's that comfort thing. You know?
Well, I mean, I, like, love food now. It's, like, all I think about. Like, when I'm on vacation, I'm like, I don't need to see a monument. Like, where's the best seafood restaurant? Tell, yeah, me, where's the good happy hour?
I don't give a fuck
hour
about,
like,
hiking,
yeah,
your mountain.
Yeah.
Where can I go get some,
yeah,
good crabs?
I mean, I do like hiking, yeah, but back then, yeah, probably, because that was when my dad got sick. And also during that time, I do remember also having, like, maybe like 6 months when he was really sick, where I think I had, like, little kid OCD where I would, like, count things. I would think it was just, like, a weird coping mechanism that I just grew out of. Like,
I did that too. I would count by threes.
Me too. I was threes and
11s. Because of the remotes, I would slide my thumb up and down the remote and it was 3, 3, 3. Mm-hmm. And I started counting by threes.
That's really weird. I was threes too. But then I don't
Not
know why
11s. 11. You would go by 11s?
I think 11 was my sports number. So then I would go like, okay, 3, and then a multiple of 3 at 11 is 33. So I don't know. Maybe that's what it was. But yeah, so then when I was like, so I'd have been like 12, I guess. I just know my dad was 39 because my dad is 4 months younger than my mom. And
he's a very strong, sturdy, healthy,
athletic. Yeah. I mean, he'll say he's 6 foot. He's maybe 5'10", 5'11".
There's, I feel him though.
Yeah, he says there's a misprint in the newspaper from his high school. I'm like, okay. But yeah, just athletic. I mean, my dad's a really good looking guy too. He looks a little bit like almost a better looking version of like Jim Morrison or like a, I'm trying to think, with Jeff Bridges. Although okay. No one agrees with me about Jeff Bridges. But anyways, he was just super healthy. And the first time we started to notice it, like looking back on this tape at my mom's 40th birthday, so he'd been 39. So my dad and I should have been the one like getting tired. That's when I was fat. And we're dancing to Free Bird, which you know is the longest song ever.
Forever.
15 minutes, like, you know, you can't, I couldn't. I mean, I was doing fine, but you start to notice in this video, like he's like, it's weird. He's like, he looks visibly tired towards the end of this like home video when he's dancing. And like, we watched that later after we'd found out he was sick, but like, kind of, I guess that's when he started to maybe see it. And then all of a sudden he just, like he went from being 39, handsome, strong, all that, to looking like he was 60 or 70. Like,
and how quickly?
I honestly can't remember. I want to say within a few months. Maybe
wow.
Maybe 60 and 70, not in a he just like, he deteriorated so quickly. Like, you know, this like fatty part of your hand right here, that was completely gone. Like he started like picking things up like this, like his, so his symptoms. Well, they thought he had Lou Gehrig's disease or ALS.
So, I was going to ask because a friend of mine, his dad did pass from that, and it was so fast. It was a few months, and he was a jogger. He was a runner, super healthy, good eater.
So did he pass in a few months or just deteriorated in a few months?
He deteriorated in a few months and then stayed around, but he was not himself. I mean, he was here for another year or two maybe, and then he passed away.
So that makes a lot of sense because they diagnosed him as. But here's the thing. My parents are very protective of me and my sister. No joke, they told us that he had carpal tunnel.
Nuh-uh.
Swear to God. They didn't want us to, because my mom didn't believe he was dying. So they.
So she was like, you don't know what you're talking about? Or she was like, fuck that. We're going to will this another way.
To the doctor?
Yeah.
So it was fuck that. And my dad was like, fuck that too. But probably my mom helped.
So they say you have ALS.
So yeah, they go to the Mayo Clinic. They actually went there 3 times. Because they couldn't figure out what it was at first. So then they go out to the Mayo Clinic. Some doctor out there tells them that he has got ALS and he's got 6 months to live. And my mom was like, my husband's not fucking dying.
Yeah, that's
And the
what
doctor
I'm
also
about.
Told my dad, well, you're also never going to run a saw again. And I guess, I don't know if my dad said it to the doctor afterwards. He's like, I'm going to come back there with a saw and cut his wood desk apart.
I got one in my truck right now, motherfucker. And I can use my feet.
Yeah, exactly. So she was just like, no, I don't believe that's what it is. It was either like, it wasn't what it was, but had she not been like that, a lot of people would just accept that diagnosis. So
then what do you do? Where did they go next for the second opinion?
I can't remember if like the third visit to the Mayo Clinic or it was a visit to OHSU, a hospital in Oregon. Awesome doctor who he's still with, Dr. Petrunin, who found it. But they ended up figuring out that it was a really rare form of cancer called Waldenstrom's disease that most men get like later in their life, in like their 70s, and then they usually die of it. Well, and it's like so rare. It's like 200 people get it a year or something crazy.
But mostly attacks men in their later years. Mm-hmm. But your dad's 39, 40.
So that's why he survived. So they were
okay.
Yeah, so he got it young and they were like, and probably just, you know, science had, you know, gotten better. So then they were just basically like, we're going to give you chemo. And he almost miraculously, it felt like, got better.
Not to put you on the spot, maybe you know, maybe you don't know. I've never heard of this. So what sort of cancer is this? What
is
it?
It's a cancer
of
the blood. So it's, okay. Yeah, it's like that. But it looks so similar to Lou Gehrig's disease. Like he was so bad, like he would stand up and then like fall over.
Whoa.
But he was really funny about it. He would say like, I'd be like, Dad, you want me to go get that for you? He's like, no, I'm going to get up. I'm going to do a backflip, land in the pike position. I'm like, idiot. He had a really good, I think they just both had really good attitudes about it. But this whole time, my sister and I are in the dark. Like, we're just seeing our dad where we're
and
like,
how old are you?
I'm like 12, then okay. 13.
12, 13.
I didn't even find out my dad had cancer until I was at school. And this kid that, like, I think I went on a few dates with, and then he didn't end up liking me, like, leaned over. He's like, heard your dad's got cancer. I was like, cool. I thought it was carpal tunnel. That's news to me.
That's how you found out. Yeah. That's just like
his mom was.
And Santa Claus isn't really. Yeah. God damn, you hit me with a lot today, man. Shit.
It's so ridiculous. But there's a part of the timeline too, though, where like my dad, because my dad and I are very close, like to the point where when he was that sick, he also like there was a lot of like let's just pretend like things are okay, sort of in my family.
Yeah,
and he didn't want to stop going to work. And so he...
How could he drive?
Well, that's where I'd come in at 14. So over the summer, we'd get in his truck. We'd pull out of the driveway. He'd be
What's
like,
his truck?
Like a... He was like a Dodge, like dually.
A dually?
Yeah.
So at 14?
Yeah. Down like tiny, windy logging roads and just cliffs on each side. No driver's permit. Just... Yeah. And I was a terrible driver up until I was about 22, too.
I mean, that's a big fucking truck to be driving it at those, even 16, 17.
And those roads, there's literally semis coming down. You have to be on a CB and be like, I'm coming around, like, mile marker, whatever. So then they know to pull over, you know to pull over. It's like, you're going to crash at any time. Anyways, so, like, we'd pull out of the driveway, and then we'd switch seats. Because when my dad would drive, he'd have to lift his leg up from gas to brake just to put it on there. So it was super dangerous. So,
yeah,
I'd drive into the woods and... I'd go walk the jobs for him.
Did your mom know you guys were doing this?
No.
No.
She just thought I was going to hang with him. So then he'd send me down in the woods and be like, what do the trees look like? I'm like, I don't know. This big? So yeah, we were really close. And then he confided in me, not my sister, even though I'm younger, eventually that he was dying. This is before they figured out the whatever. So I'm like 12. And he used to get freezing because his nerves still hurt to this day, but he's fine. You would never know he was sick.
Oh, really? He's got...
He just gets chemo twice a year.
And he has the full range of motion in his hands and he can drive and everything?
He's 100% fine.
Wow.
The other day,
only because he got this cancer at a young age. So this would, in your later years, it would probably take
probably,
you out.
Yeah, probably. And he was healthy, you know, to begin with. I mean, he's so fine that, I mean, he gets really tired and stuff.
Did he run us all again?
Oh, yeah. He still does.
Did he go tell that fucking doctor?
Probably.
Perfect. I would have just
is that doctor still alive?
In his doorway just,
it's such I'll a terrifying noise.
It is. There's a guy in the neighborhood for Halloween, and he's the asshole that always does the chainsaw without the chain.
Oh yeah,
but he scares kids that
it's
they
terrifying.
Run into the fucking road. They're running into the road
that
where cars are coming by. And shit. I'm like, hey, chill out with that fucking chainsaw.
Does he have his own kids?
Probably not.
Okay, that guy's also probably.
I've never had a conversation with this guy.
He's probably killed someone. Mm-hmm. The person's a creep. To scare little kids like that?
He scares the shit out of them.
Yeah, that's crazy. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, did he ever go back? Oh, so my dad's so fine, though, to this day, though. Like, he, maybe a month ago, he got, so you have to drive like 3 hours to like the nearest good hospital. He got his chemo in Salem, Oregon, literally IV in his arm. And then he wanted to drive his car to California because he's got a vacation home in Palm Springs. Literally, they unhook the IV and he's like, drives 9 hours to
By
Sacramento.
Himself?
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah. Drives 9 hours to Sacramento, stays the night, and then drives the next 9 hours, gets up at 4 a.m. And then the next day goes golfing. Like, he's fine. Or he just is in denial. But he's fine.
How old is he now?
61.
So just 20, a little over 20 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And he does two sessions a year?
Yeah, and then he gets another thing called like IVIG or something that like filters out the blood. I don't know.
So why do you think, or do you know why he confided in you and not your sister?
My sister was much more emotional when we were kids. She was like she had like hard teenage years. She'd like cry a lot. I was just pretty stable. Like I didn't even cry when my dad, so he would go out to his shop outside and sit by a fire because it would get so cold and like he couldn't even turn the heat up hot enough in our house. And he didn't want to make us hot. And so I remember going out there one night and I remember telling me, like, I am probably going to die or this isn't looking good.
Whoa.
And
you sat down and had that conversation.
Yeah, and I did not cry when he told me that. Like, I could cry more about it now. I did not cry at that age. And
is it because you didn't believe it?
No, I think it was just like, I guess this is. I think when you're a kid, sometimes you almost have more strength because you don't maybe know what's going on.
Yeah,
and like, or it's like, okay, like, and you don't want to make him sad. And like, he got to the, I mean, in the conversation, he was like, I want to be, we had a cemetery like half mile away. He's like, I want to be buried there so I can stop in and visit you guys from time to time. And I was like, okay, Grant, I want the old Irish blessing on your gravestone. Your dad's going to sing Danny Boy. We got this. Like, super Irish. And I didn't cry. I didn't cry until I went back in my room that night. And then I, you know, started crying.
Yeah.
But it's like, I feel like if he said that to me now, maybe I think I'd be more emotional.
Have you ever talked to him about, do you remember that time you said this to
me? Oh, yeah, yeah.
And what does he say?
Oh, he remembers.
So so there was some doubt for him or some concern moment.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was priests that told him to make plans. Like, I mean, they came in and, like, he was dying. It was just like they just kept trying to figure out, like, this isn't what it is. This isn't what it is. And, like, at the final hour, basically, they got lucky or just didn't give up.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. My mom's a badass for, you know, and me and my sister and I's lives, like, really didn't. While it was scary, like, it's not like our whole world fell apart, you know? Mm-hmm. It was like, all right, our dad just looks different. And he doesn't feel good. And, you know, he's still laughing. And
how's he look now?
Fine. I mean, he's got
Does he look like he ever went through anything? Does that make sense when I'm asking? Like,
yeah, I know what you're saying.
Does he have any full range of motion or nothing's a little?
No, like, I mean, he's got like big handicap. Like paw hands just from like holding a saw all the time. But like, I mean, I kind of have those hands too. No reason for that. Softball mitt hands. I mean, not really. He's got a full head of gray hair and he's had that young, but that also like runs in his family sort of. Like, I don't know. Compared to my mom who looks really young, maybe he looks older, but not really. He's just kind of a badass. I mean, like maybe 6 years ago, he had a tire blowout and his truck flipped off of like, if you've ever been to Oregon, it's like basically our highways have cliffs on each side. Flipped like four or five times or something off of a cliff, lands. He's just got a bloody head. He gets out of the car. There's a woman screaming down below. He gets out of the car and he tells her to calm down. He's like, calm down. He's just, I don't know. He's just a weird man that's like just cheated dead.
He flipped like, and rolled.
His car completely totaled.
Like, what, I've seen photos of it. One of those dually trucks?
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be a violent
fucking
flip. Dually's
the two wheels. It's an extra cab.
Yeah.
So it's not two wheels in the back. Okay, extra cab. Yeah.
But still, that's a monster truck that has to be flipping violently.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's probably not going slow on those roads.
Yeah, no, probably not. But he walked out of it. He didn't even go to the hospital. And this woman, there's something wrong with him. He might not be
there
real.
There is something wrong with him, for real.
Yeah, and I guess that's
at the minimum, I'm like, I want a concussion test. Bring that fucking tent over here. Put me in it right now and give me that exam, goddammit.
It's ridiculous.
So I would want everything checked. He's like, I'm fine. He's and like, this lady's screaming for him.
And he goes, calm down.
He's like, shut up, bitch. I'm fine.
Who wants to go golfing?
Unbelievable. I'm trying to make my tea time.
It's true.
Good God.
Yeah, he's a badass.
So did after he beat this cancer, did he go back to work?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He did.
Yeah,
doing
what he did,
or did he have to shift into like some kind of supervisor role where don't go out there? And
he already owned the company. So he was already like, he didn't have to fall trees all the time anymore. I mean, he still does it sometimes just to prove it to himself he can. But I mean, he was still working during it. He obviously wasn't falling trees, but he was, or I was driving him into the woods, or someone was. And so, yeah, he basically just went back to kind of where he was before. You know, just like checking, you know, he still has to hike into the woods and check all that and sometimes fall trees. So, yeah.
Did he drive 18-wheelers and shit too?
No. That's a whole separate thing. There's a whole separate thing. Like, my dad just owns like the falling part of the company. So that's not even the people that like process it or have the trucks. I mean, there's
They're just the only part is they mm-hmm. take
they
the
contract
trees
out.
Down
yeah.
and then it goes off to a whole nother company.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
my brother, he'll do shit. Like he runs an auto recycling business. So it's a junkyard and mm-hmm. they crush out cars. And he'll send me pictures where he brings the 18-wheeler home with a load of crushed cars and chain holding them all down and parks it right out front. And he's like, my neighbors are so pissed.
Jesus.
And it just makes me laugh. He's out there taking pictures of it and sends it to me. I was wondering if your dad ever pulled up like a whole fucking haul of logs.
I just met a truck driver in this like 500-person town in a bar in Colorado. I happened to be visiting there. And this truck driver, I was like, I have such like a diarrhea of the mouth, and like I listen to so much true crime, I just want to be like, is everyone pedophiles that you run with? And I was like, don't say that. And I just started to like ask him all these weird questions in
a
roundabout way.
Is that a big thing among truckers?
Have you not seen To Catch a Predator?
I have.
There's
a
lot of serial killers that were also like truck drivers, and that's how they would. God, you gotta listen to My Favorite Murder, you know, Karen.
I do listen to enough of it, but I didn't know that was a thing among truckers.
Oh yeah. Now you lost all your truck driver listeners. Sorry.
I thought it was more the ladies of the night for the truckers, not the,
well, I think
not
it's
the
a
kids
combo.
Of the night. Jeez. Yeah.
Well, I think it probably is more ladies of the night, but I remember like several episodes of To Catch a Predator where they'd roll up like they were truck drivers.
Now you can get away, I guess, too. You're always on the road somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you would never know. There was now
you're GPS tracked, like especially if you work, you can't, like back in the day they'd do a little speed and go all the way through the night. You can't do that shit anymore. They can GPS track.
I was gonna say, I'm pretty sure they probably
are.
Still do speed.
They probably do, but they're only allowed just to do speed for a few short runs, you know. It's just now you're just doing the
speed.
Well,
the long haul, it's encouraged. They're just handing it to him at the truck stop. So he's fine now.
That's a great story.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not.
And you're super close still and everything.
You my dad and I go to concerts. My dad and I have seen like every classic rock concert probably together of anyone that's still alive. Like we go, and we have a blast.
What's the last one you saw most recently?
I think it was Bad Company and Sammy Hagar. No, who was the other? Not Eddie Van Halen. I can't remember the other one right now. Maybe it was Sammy Hagar. Yeah.
Where do you go?
Well, that one was just happened to be like in Palm Springs at like some golf tournament. A lot of things are revolved around golf. It was like he goes golf tournament. These guys play. They played at 5 p.m. by the way, which is such an old, like these guys are getting real old that it's a 5 p.m. concert on a golf course.
Oh, the concert's
at
5 p.m.
Oh, yeah. No, I was like, are you sure it's not a typo?
5 o'clock, guys. Before dinner. Right before dinner.
I've seen Rod Stewart in concert and he will barely stand up. He's just sort of like, I'm rich now, I don't have to do this. And if he doesn't feel like singing, he just puts the microphone out to the audience, you know.
You're just there to see Sir Rod.
Yeah, I guess so.
So you also had sent a story about a situation you experienced in your adult life, which I have not known anyone to experience it in their adult life. So
either have I, and for no reason really.
Will you share whatever you're comfortable sharing about
that? I mean, I'm fine with it. It's just, and now I'm like a kind of happy that I have the story in a weird way, because I feel like, I don't know, I feel like most people, like even like female friends that I've had, and like mostly female friends, even in the comedy world, like for some reason, like that no one ever thinks bad things happen to me. So like, even if like that I told them the full story of my dad, they'd be like, yeah, well, he didn't die and everything's easy for you anyways. Like I have one of that, something about that about me where it's like, I don't know. And I'm fine with that. But like, I think that now I have street cred. So I don't mind.
Like
now.
Before people were like, fuck her. It always works out for her.
Yeah. Like, it's like, now I got street cred. Yeah, I've seen shit now. It's my Vietnam. So what happened was, it's kind of hard to explain because I did not really know what happened until after I got out. It was like I was just like in a dream. I was like, what is happening? And then after I got out, I put the pieces together as I would talk to more people. So I'm going to say this and then I'll go back, talk to more people and find out like what this girl did to then scare my parents and involve people. So basically, like, winter of 2018, grandma died. She was old. It's okay. Like, but maybe I was a little bit sad about that. And then maybe I was, like, in the wrong relationship. But, like, no more sad than, like, normal people get when things happen. And I've never had a substance abuse problem. I like to drink. I'm Irish. But I'm, like, also not a partier. Like, I like to be in bed by 10 p.m. Like, even just like that, it's, like, my problem is I like to fall asleep. Like, so it's like, I can't even, you know. So just a little backstory on that in case there's going to be any confusion. At this point, now I would know how to do drugs because of the rehab I went to. So,
okay.
So it wasn't, I didn't, so basically what happened is I was intervened on. I went twice because I didn't understand the first time what was happening. And then, so at first, my mom is just acting weird towards me. She's very worried. It was the first year that I started booking my own shows, and like I would open for people on the road, but this was the first time it was like I'm you know, headlining my own shows on the road. And my mom in her head is probably just thinking like, my daughter's on the road by herself, like horrible things are going to happen.
Yeah, rightfully so.
Yeah, true, but I mean, to be perfectly honest though, in the comedy world, like I have not had any like horrible experiences with like any, like Girls have been more mean to me than guys have. So
you mean fans or comedians?
Comedians.
Yeah, I think the comedians are fine. Yeah. It's the lunatic fans out there that, yeah, you know, you
most of my
watch
fans are girls,
for.
Though, for the most part. So it's like, what can they do, really?
Well, y'all can be crazy.
Yeah. Too. Well, actually, I guess the story does stem from someone doing something. So my mom, so then she's just always like telling me, she's like watching my Instagram and being like, you look tired there. What's going on? Just like, and I start to feel like, what the hell is going on? And, then when I was doing like a show, I was doing New Jersey, Boston, then back to New York for shows. My mom tells my dad to fly out there and just be with me. I'm like, okay. But I don't know, like, there's something like brewing under, you know, underneath. I also don't know that someone that was working for me was calling my parents, calling my podcast network, calling friends. That I'll tell you about later. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead. So basically, that seed's being planted.
It's being planted, like,
and that's why you're
like
mom's
Rachel's
reacting.
So, yeah, like Rachel's,
but
so
you don't know that.
No idea. So I'm okay. Just like, this is, I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone. So then my aunt, my mom's sister, is like a counselor, and so she either calls me or I call her, because I was like, my mom's freaking out. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, this is stressful. And my mom had flown. I'm back in LA. My mom had flown down to see me. And
at no point when they come to see you, they say, well, your assistant or whoever called.
No, they never mention that. Never mention that. Like, it is later that I find out how much that girl was calling, like, out of nowhere. Like, just.
All right. Yeah. So I'll hold my questions.
So, no, you can ask them. It's just. It's hard for me to tell in the sense of, because it is so bizarre.
It's like Memento right now.
It's bizarre. Yeah. I didn't see Memento.
They tell the story in like reverse.
Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Keep asking questions.
It bounces around a little bit, you know, from what I remember.
Okay. Well,
okay, so
ask questions.
Your
so
mom
it's
comes to visit.
So she comes to visit, and
it's a little remarkable that not one person has said, well, I mean, you're fucking whoever's calling the shit out of us. They never say that, or else that would have stopped it all right there.
Probably, yeah. It that was what was weird too, was no one was talking to me. And it was probably that this girl, because she would say things like, I would get an email from my podcast network and this girl would say, she said that you need some time off for 3 weeks because you're tired or you're traveling. I'm like, no, I needed one day off from doing that ad because I lost my voice. Like, what is, like, just weird shit like that, because she was working with me. So yeah, if someone had told me, I'd have been, I would have probably. So my mom's there, and then my aunt comes down. I'm thinking my aunt's coming to like deal with my mom, because she's just kind of like stressing me out. And so I go and meet them in a hotel room where my mom was staying, and there is another counselor there.
What?
A lady there.
And so it's your aunt who is a counselor, as well, you said, and your mom and an additional counselor.
Well, it was a family interventionist is what then I'm,
That's
I find
what
out.
I was going to say. It sounds like an intervention, but it's just the three of them in the room.
Yes. So the first time. So,
oh my God.
So then this lady asks them to leave the room, and then she like confides me. She's like, in all my years, I've never asked like family to leave the room. She's like, because I think you're really hurting because of your family. So she spins it to me originally that like your family's being too hard on you. But this is all a money making business, by the way. Like, she's like, you're codependent. Your mom's codependent on you. Your mom needs to work on her codependency. Like, and then she's like, will you go somewhere? And I'm like, well, sure, but I didn't understand really. And so she. So
they're fully aware that you're not on any substance. You're not.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think that maybe. So I have no thyroid gland, and so I get tired a lot. I think maybe that girl maybe said like, maybe she's on like prescription pills or something. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe that's why she's tired. I've never taken a prescription pill in my life except for when I got hand surgery.
So what was the intervention for? Like, what was their reason?
My parents did. No one said anything to me at that point. It was this lady saying, she made it seem like there was something going on with my family dynamic, and this. It was weird. I don't know. So I don't think that they thought there was a substance abuse problem. I don't know. But, well, I know that they don't now, but I don't know initially if that, I don't know what that girl was saying initially. I don't know what, because she was making up so many, so I have no idea. But I literally never done drugs in my life, so.
But they felt the need to intervene and pull you into a hotel to tell you this, but they don't get into detail of what specifically.
Well, later in the second intervention, which was led by this girl, there was a letter. A letter read out loud to me from her, and here were the reasons. Your podcast downloads sometimes go down low. Your reviews like used to be better. It's like nothing has changed from then to now. Like, just cruel shit. Like, you're like, just basically like, you're not being as good as you could be as a person. And I'm sitting around a fucking room with that girl who has her own set of problems, two reality star friends who, Kristen wouldn't care if I said this, probably showed up drunk to pick me up to drive me to this fucking thing. My poor parents are sobbing. One friend that it's like a total user is just like putting boxes of like putting the to-go food that my dad had ordered for everyone in a box, just like laughing. I'm like in the Twilight Zone watching, looking at these people, and this girl is leading this whole
hitting
thing.
You a podcast.
Yeah, it was like podcast ass. I'm like, dude, the podcast.
Listen, man, your Georgia numbers are down, okay? We really need to do something in the
fucking
South.
Fucking God. And the other reason was, it was, we all think it's very concerning that you like to walk a lot of places or you walk everywhere.
Yeah, that's exercise?
Yeah, that's good for mental health.
It's
and
good
I did
for
learn,
a lot of
that
things.
Was confirmed later at Milestones. That they were like, no, that's really healthy. That's great that you do that. It was, that's why I call it bullying, because it was like, imagine just being told things about you that there shouldn't be anything wrong, but they're like.
So.
And the other two, the reality show friends, were like, you're always tired and you never want to go out. It's not a reason to.
To have an intervention.
Yeah.
All right. So how long between the first, so what happens after the
okay,
first
so
intervention?
Okay. So I go
there. Somewhere or
I,
you.
So yeah. So I go, I'm, so I don't know. She just takes me. And I guess before you go.
You just say, I'll agree to go with you.
Yeah. I was like, well, I guess this will be an adventure. I also, it's like my mom, I love my mom so much. I just don't want her to be sad. And I'm like, this is the same thing that happened the second time. I'm like, if this is what makes them think, if I need to go somewhere for these people to be like, your daughter's fine. She's allowed to be a comedian on the road, you know, and also like, it was a great way to weed out bad people. Like that's, I was like, I guess I have to do this. It was sort of like a, I don't know, a weird calling of sorts.
It's like a whole group of people are in on a mind fuck.
Yeah. And the stuff I found out later that this girl was saying. So I would ask my friends afterwards, the ones that were my real friends, not the girl that met me as a fan at a comedy show, started working for me, is a fan of Vanderpump Rules. And
one of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Now, worked her way into working for the entire group of. It's, I mean, it's basic science. It's weird. Like, it's like that didn't. She didn't. It's a weird.
All right. So you leave.
So,
and you, we'll come back to her.
Yeah.
We got to talk about
yeah,
her.
So
where
I,
do you go?
So, So the first place I go is you have to go to a detox facility before, and they have no way of knowing that, you know, I don't, you know, and there has to be
but
a bed ready.
Do you pee
ready.
In a cup or anything when you
oh,
get
Oh, they
there.
Give you, no, full body body cavity check.
Nuh-uh.
And I was like, at that oh point, I was like, I'm just making jokes. I'm like, I didn't shove a needle up my vagina. Yeah, like, it's like, this is, like,
but you have zero substance in
my
system.
Body. Well, I'd gone to a barbecue the night before, so maybe I had, like nothing, though. I'm not detoxing from anything, so I'm just laying. I mean, my mom got me like the nicest room, but I'm laying in a freaking hospital bed in like without they take all your things away from you. I mean, I just got to watch TV for a day, but.
Any chance you saw the reality shows that your friends were on?
Oh, God, no. I watched some old movies, but I was like, I literally was like the whole time I was thinking to myself, I'm like, first of all, aren't these kind of things expensive? And I was like, I mean, my parents are successful, but I was like, did they like what is going on? Am I from a different like I was just so confused that like. I mean, obviously insurance pays for it, but I was just like, what the fuck?
I'm confused. I'm right there with you right now.
Yeah. So then after there's a bed ready at the place, they drive me through the canyons to this cool, fancy place called Milestones
of Malibu.
All right,
so how long are you in detox? Just a day? Because
I was there. Well, I was
there
for a day and a half because there wasn't a bed ready the second day. So I had to just sleep overnight and like, whatever. They drive me to the place. It's beautiful. I ended up loving it later. But I get there and they like, I check in and they're like taking, you know, just basic things that, because people there that are there, like some of them are cutters and stuff, which now I understand, but I'm like, why are you taking, I'm trying to think like nail clippers or something like now I realize that it's in case someone steals it from you. They take everything from you. And then I'm like checking in and they're like, okay, so you'll be here for 30 days. I was like, sorry, what? No. And they were like, well, that's the program, but you're allowed to leave at any time. And I'm like, all right, I'll think about it. And so I don't stay there right that second. I was like, I have to return the lease in on my car. That was like a big deal. I was like, I don't want to get charged for that. I was like, I'll come back in 2 days after I handle that and either get a new car or just turn that in. So I come back 2 days later and I stay for 12 days. I had it in my contract. I was still allowed to work. Guess how embarrassing this is. Tell me how surreal this would be. I was on a show at the Improv. The only person I could remember on it besides myself was Judd Apatow. Obviously, I want to be cool and, you know, impress him. Not that he would talk to me, but it's like a surreal moment of like, okay, I'm on a show I'm proud of. My freaking sober coach has to drive me there. I have to pretend like she's my aunt to everyone. Like,
and she was okay with that, though?
Like, she didn't care, but like I'm literally like leave Malibu, like go to the Improv, like. If I actually had substance abuse problems or depression, like severe, you know, like I listened to your episode with Dave Anthony. Like if I was, my sadness never was to the point where I'd, he planned to like bought a hose.
Yeah,
for the, like,
he was going to do it.
Yeah. Like I maybe just cried and slept sometimes, but still sometimes I got up at 5 a.m. and work like just.
You weren't suicidal.
No, I was excited about my future. Whatever. So after like 12 days, it was, and I'm there with like, mostly like really rich young kids who I'm thinking I'm actively losing jobs right now and I don't have a trust fund and like I don't need to be here and now I'm just getting irritated. So I left after 12 days. Cool. I think nothing's wrong. That girl still make things are still weird, but I don't totally notice.
Okay. So now let me ask you this. While you're in rehab and everywhere else, what is your interaction with this girl that's working for you? Is she still texting?
Well, I don't get emailing? A phone in there, so okay. I just got to go to my one show at the Improv. I think I got to record one podcast or something, or I forget, or at least the ads for it. I can't remember. I don't know what her involvement was the first time in terms of my business, but the second time she had told my parents, I'll handle everything, everything's gonna be fine. I was fired from everything while I was there, so clearly she wasn't.
You were?
Oh yeah.
What did you get fired from?
My podcast network dropped me because I found out that she, when it's interesting. So, so clearly she wasn't handling anything. So then the second time I walk into a room.
Where are you, home?
It's at the Sofitel. My parents had gotten like a conference room there. I walk in there. Again, picked up by, like, I love Kristen. She wouldn't care if I said this. She's fucking chain smoking, like, probably hungover. Like, they're paid to party for a living, like, and paid to, like, fight with each other. Like, there's a reason why I'm not on the show. Like, I'm too boring for the show. So the people that actively do some of the craziest things on national television are also late to pick me up. So they pick me up.
Right.
They, like, drive me. I walk into the room, and I don't know. I just thought I was meeting with the interventionist lady because... You know, my mom was still worried about me because that girl was still planting seeds. So I think it's just me, my friends, and my mom and this lady. So I walk in the room. It's that girl, them, my sister, my dad, my mom.
Oh, wow.
And
everybody.
Some other like scummy friend that's a fan or whatever. And of my reality show friends. A lot of it was people that wanted to be around the proximity to those people. It's nuts. So I walk in, gross. I'm like, gang's all here, because I was shocked. I was like, cool, sit down. Then
so that's immediately you know what's happening again.
Oh, yeah. And I just knew in that moment, like, there's no way I'm going to get out of this situation unless I do this and I do it for the full 30 days, and then I'll get answers.
But again, what is it this time that they're telling you you need this break from?
That nice letter.
You're too
Kristen,
tired. Your
Kristen
numbers aren't
said
good.
You're always tired. Stassi was just like... what was it? I don't even know. Just like
you don't want to go out,
or you're acting different, or just like, or you just seem different, or you seem tired, or something like.
But not a therapist?
It took a bit of a jump.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I probably would have gone to therapy, but like
So do you go away again a second time?
So I go away
you
again
did.
A second
you
time.
You didn't say no.
I knew, and the interventionist kind of told me, she basically was like, I know there's nothing wrong with you. Basically, pretty much, but you're not getting out of this unless
you do
something.
But I need this $1,500.
Yes, it's so true.
Come on, just.
No, seriously, and actually, it did cost $1,500 for her to drive me to the fucking Improv show. I had no idea. Yes, I find that out later. My poor parents. No, it is a money making scam. And she wasn't that good at it either. Because the second detox
got
facility.
Got a ticket driving me to the improv.
Yeah. The second detox facility I had to go to was an all men's house. She fucked it up. So I get dropped
what?
Off.
What? Nah.
It's not even a hospital. I get dropped off.
Sounds like a frat house.
It was like a California style home, but it was like, I mean, there's people coming off drugs puking on the ground. It's a house. And she didn't realize I was being dropped off into the all men's house. So my poor dad is in the car with us. We walk in. It's like $600 for me to stay there for the night to do nothing. Blew a 00, nothing in my
you
system.
Did.
Yeah, I don't. What do you think?
Shouldn't they be able to release you right then and there?
I've told this story to like Dr. Drew before, like not on his podcast. I just saw him at a party. He was like, a lot of this seems kind of illegal too. Like,
sounds fishy as fuck. Yeah.
So, but whatever, I have to stay there. And there's no locks on the doors. They eventually moved me to a women's house, but.
How long were you in the men's house?
Just for one night until the bed was ready, until I was clear.
It's always that damn bed gotta be ready.
But there was literally like, there was a kid that just got dropped off, like coming off of meth, just like walking around, like going like this, just like walking around. I've never seen one on meth just talking to himself. Like, he was hilarious though. He was like, they were like, can you sit down, Daniel? And he's like, I just want to enjoy this last high. So it was like fairly entertaining. And then he would come running.
Let me get my 30 star tomorrow because I'm on one right now.
And then he came running down the stairs at one point. He's like, there's some good shit written on the wall up here. I walked up and it was like these like scribbled handwriting for people just like, you know, live, laugh, love, like people that were high still in there. There's a guy, there's a firefighter coming off of heroin, like puking on the ground, moaning. It was very, very sad and Jesus. Very, very jarring. But they were like, those ladies weren't even handling it correctly. They were just sort of like the women that ran the house. And I was like, well, I should help them out with something. I'm just bored. So I was like, do you want me to help cook dinner? And they were like, no, we got Boboli on the way. I was like, I think I could make something better. Like, you don't need to make Boboli after you just picked up his puke and now you're going to put your hands in that.
On
like
people's pizza.
Yeah. So, I hung out there for about 6 hours before they moved me to the women's house, played some board games with some kids that finally told me about what fentanyl was. I was like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
And they're like, what are you in for? I was like, I don't know. I'm a comedian.
Sure
my parents don't like that necessarily. And
I don't like to go out and I'm too tired.
Yeah, I don't know.
And my podcast numbers are suffering in the southeast region of this goddamn country.
It's so true. Those were literally her words. She was like, people used to give you all 5-star reviews and sometimes now there's bad ones. I'm like, that's how podcasting
that's
works.
That's how the internet works.
Why did it kick me when I'm down?
I love you, but this episode sucks.
That's so ridiculous. So then I went again. I actually met some of my best friends the second time. Stayed for the 30 days, got this cool hypnotherapy stuff. My parents and I got some like, you know, therapy together, like counseling.
That's
that was helpful.
Nice.
Yeah, it
and
was
the
a,
hypnotherapy. Did you discover anything you didn't know?
No, it was more just like, you know, they'd make you go back to like your childhood and like whatever. And, you know, probably like when I was little, I think figuring out like, hence why like my dad, they would tell me more stuff than my older sister, like a lot more was maybe put on me, but nothing bad. Like I didn't have any, you know, trauma. Like, I mean, my dad's stuff was trauma, but that had been kind of worked out. Honestly, like going to these facilities was the most trauma I've ever had in my life. Like there was a period of like 4 months after I got, maybe six, could even be 6 months after I got out. So only until like the winter of last year where I was so confused and so hurt and so like if they thought I was depressed before, I was actually probably depressed afterwards because I was like
the second after you got out the 30
just
days.
after I got out because I just didn't, because when I was in there they basically like Joey the hypnotherapist said to my face, you're one of the most healthy, well-adjusted people I've ever met, like
my, you're like, look man, I'm just here for the French toast.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Y'all make bomb ass breakfast.
Sure, that was really good. And I loved going to AA meetings with other people. That was fun.
But you have nothing to share or volunteer?
They would just
meeting.
Go around. I mean, I'd be like, I don't know, my family thinks I'm depressed.
I reasonably drank 2 beers at a barbecue right before I got here. So
sorry. I mean, the crazy stories. I mean, that was a cool experience, though, where you, like, there'd be a normal-looking girl at an AA meeting, and she'd be like, you know, I'm just so happy I'm sober because now I don't wake up and think, did I rob someone or shoot at someone? I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, the stories are insane.
All right. So now let's talk about the machine behind all this fucking madness.
Okay. So I leave and I still think like, I would say what broke me about it was I knew there was nothing wrong with me. My parents and I figured that out. we did all the good therapy of like, okay, my mom can't watch my Instagram story and tell me like, you seem sad because you're not wearing dresses anymore. I'm like, I'm a fucking comedian. Like, knock it off. She just is very into image. So we worked all that out, but I was still very confused amongst my like friend group. And so then I would just, you know, I'd ask Kristen, like we'd be hanging out. I'd say, well, Kristen, why did you think there was something so wrong with me? And then she was like, well, you were always tired. And then she said, and when that girl, she said, when that girl told me you couldn't pay your bills, I really got worried. I was like, what? She was like, yeah, she said she saw your bank statements and you couldn't pay your bills. I'm like, well, that's not true at all. She didn't even have passwords for that. Like, that's not true at all. Also.
Or did she have the passwords? She was just making that up. She wasn't stealing from you too?
She had my passwords while I was at Milestones because she told my parents she was helped, but it's still not true. I mean, I had some credit card debt, but yeah. Who doesn't? And no, like.
It's healthy to carry some like, debt.
What?
It's yeah. Healthy to carry
yeah.
Some
no,
debt.
I was like, at that point, I still had like somewhat of a side job, a podcast, and I was on the road. I was making actually very good money. Like, there was no, she completely made it up. Then I found out she's.
This whole group of people, not one person said, oh, fucking whatever her name is over here told me this until after the second. That is amazing.
No, because I think also about a lot of it, too, is like they all have their own lives. And I think that like we weren't hanging out like all the time. And so that girl knew how to insert herself into things. So she would just feed people information. So and like what they tell to me now is they just assume like. Well, she says she's the closest person to you, so we just believed her.
I see.
So it's like that. And so like, my parents don't live here, so they're calling her, or they're calling, she's
what
calling them.
You said she called so many times. Like, how many times? What was she, info was
she feeding
your mom?
Later, I mean, she actually admitted most of this to me, and I would be like, why did you do it? She's like, I don't know, I felt out of control myself. And then I'm like, okay. I don't talk to her anymore. I tried to give her the benefit of the doubt. But she would say to me, no, your mom was calling me. And other people would say, like, that's not true. She'd be over to one of my friend's house, help them with their website or something. And she would just randomly pick up the phone and call my mom and be like, well, this is why I thought Rachel was weird yesterday. And like, fucking like, I mean, the person that used to do my sound for my podcast or still does, like, he told me later, because we ended up writing a script about this. We got closer about it. But he ended up telling me later, yeah, she called me once when you toured the studio I was at. And after you left and just was like, did you notice anything weird about Rachel? Like, did you think, like, when you're planting that many seeds in people's head, it's like, well, of course they're going to, you know, be like, well, maybe, yeah, maybe it was weird that she decided to walk to lunch instead of drive, or, you know, just like little things. It's like, it's fascinating.
So when did you confront her? Like, when did you finally have all this information to have a face-to-face?
I had like half of it back in the winter.
But half of it sounds like enough of it.
A lot of more stuff I found out later. And then once I found out more, I just don't talk to her anymore. But now.
Like what else? What other things were you finding out?
That she went into my podcast network because I didn't even get to tell them I was leaving. So she handled all that. So she
went. Hey, guys, if anybody ever comes in here on my behalf, don't listen to what they fucking have to
say. If anyone as an adult is calling your parents, and if you're not like saying you're going to commit suicide or you're on the street doing drugs or you're sleeping with hundreds of people that like, if you're not exhibiting dangerous behavior, you don't call someone's parents as an adult.
No.
Like that's insane.
That is insane.
So yeah, she walked into my podcast network to like tell them I had to go on a hiatus and was like.
And were you in the rehab facility?
Yeah,
time?
I didn't find that out until because I was still friendly with some of the people there. And we had went and had drinks like months later. And he out of the blue was like, hey, I just wanted to tell you I'm really sorry for an email I sent you. I was like, what do you mean? He goes, well, I sent you an email about like kind of criticizing the way you did an ad read. And when that girl, hopefully I haven't said her name, when she walked into the office to tell us you were taking time off because you were troubled or something, that she told me that she used my email to let you know that you were really not doing a good job. And he goes, I wasn't that big of a deal to me. Like that kind of shit where just even, you know, supposed to protect someone, not walk into their
right.
network and be like, she's going away. And you were totally right about the thing you said about her there.
So when do you confront her?
I did, but I just don't really speak to her. She's now a full-time assistant to one of my friends.
But doesn't your friend know what you went through?
She doesn't know all the details because she doesn't really speak to me much anymore either.
Oh, man.
Because she got busy and stuff, but I think also has a lot to do with this person.
But you never had a face-to-face with her or called her out?
Yeah, I did.
And what happened?
basically she just said
excuses.
Yeah, she basically just said like, yeah, I said those things, and I don't. She just said she didn't know why. And then she said she was sorry, and then she said, she goes, the only thing that really bothers me that you said to me afterwards is that you think that I used you to get to other people. I was like, well, it seems like you did. I was like, sorry to hurt your feelings about that, but
yeah,
seems to have worked. You literally did it. I was the first person you met. I hired you, and now you sent me away, and now our
sabotaged all my shit, like, and now you're working for somebody else. Yeah. I know. And you don't think you should send her an email or anything and be like, yo, just
I mean,
so
I'd
you
like
know.
To maybe sue her. I mean,
your friend, like, hey, you shouldn't work with this person.
She knows. She knows. I mean, it's not up to me anymore. I don't really, I mean, you know, if that she knows enough and still works with her, so.
Do you have a restraining order or anything like that on her?
No, because I have to see her at functions and things now. Like, it is what it is. Like, it's...
That...
I don't think she cares.
I would not be able to see somebody that was responsible for putting me into unnecessary rehab twice.
Yeah.
Plus, ruining my...
well, I'm with a better network.
Income.
Well, I'm with someone I like that I work better with. I mean, actually, everything did get better for me. To be perfectly honest, like, she wasn't helpful in my life, like, helping in terms of, like, my... you know, career stuff. Like, she was definitely like a gatekeeper in a bad way. Mm-hmm. I didn't honestly, things have gotten 100 times better, and I'm happy about it. So I don't know, like, the advice my parents give me is like, just hold your head up high, like that kind of thing. So it's not worth it. I'm just going to talk about it on a podcast, because that's that's real mature.
But you see her often, or
mm-hmm.
Fuck, what is that like? Does your blood boil?
It's like comically cruel that it kind of makes me laugh a little bit. And I just find it like, it worked in the sense of like, okay, well, cool. Now you get to be someone's assistant, like, good for you. But like, you didn't take me down. So,
right.
And I made some wonderful friends.
You put me away for about 45 days.
Yeah. but I mean,
best sleep and French toast I've ever had.
It actually was nice. Yeah. Yoga, sound baths.
That does sound nice.
Yeah, honestly. But they don't let you do anything. I used to make jokes to them. I'm like, let's just say if I just sprinted off into the woods, will you have to chase me? Or
What will they do?
They were like, Rachel, please don't joke.
No,
with us like
we'll
that.
Send the dogs. We'll send the dogs.
No, but they knew. I mean, I literally left with a sheet of paper that said, like, sometimes she has, like, general anxiety. Like,
I can't, like,
it's,
I'm with Dr. Drew on that. This shit, I'm not a doctor by any means, and that shit sounds completely illegal.
Yeah, I mean, not the facility I was at. I just think, like, a lot of the things, like, you got to check that you don't just... Because if I was, like, a less strong person, I think having even... Think about if anyone even just... Let's say you didn't even go away. Let's just say you were in a room and all your friends confront mm-hmm. you, and they're like, we don't really like what's happening with you right now. We don't like certain things. You'd be like, well, is there something wrong with me? Let alone having to go through, like... tests and things, and like, just to determine, it's like, it always casts a little shadow of your doubt, and like, am I crazy? I mean, I'm not, but like, it doesn't, you know.
What are your anxieties?
I'm a perfectionist for sure. I just want to be really successful, and it's kind of all I think about.
It drives you and motivates you.
Yeah,
that's it. Focus.
So that can be like kind of unhealthy. I don't like watch TV really or anything. I just think about, you know, ways to be. So that and. But I mean, I learned a lot of good coping skills from this. Not that I didn't have that many
like
before.
What?
Meditating. It's okay to go out and walk and run.
Yeah.
I was already doing it before, but that kind of thing. And just like, I mean, the hypnotherapy guy, this Joey guy, if you ever, Joey Tabanella, the way he like can reframe something when you are like bummed about something is like completely life changing. Like,
so hypnotherapy, do they put you, they hypnotize you, or is it like...
it's not like bark like a dog type of thing. And he doesn't always actually hypnotize you.
Is it like that twilight kind of feeling where you're just about to fall asleep?
Yeah, you're in it, but out of it. And he can kind of do it just in conversation. So like I can go back every Sunday now for alumni day for free therapy, which I just go to because I like it and it's, you know, everyone's cool.
And you sit and talk. Is it group therapy?
Yeah, it's group.
It is,
okay. And everyone that's there, I mean, it's... I love people that have gone through shit. Like, that's why I'm kind of proud
that's
of it.
Why
like,
I do this fucking
show. It's
I
like,
love it.
It's the most interesting people. I'd rather be friends with people like that than half the people I knew before. Like, because they're interesting and they're not hiding in shame. Like, it's out there.
Yeah, they're honest. They're,
they're just better people. But yeah, so group therapy. So he can do like, it's not even hypnotizing. It's just the way he talks to you while you're doing your therapy. It does almost feel like a little bit of hypnosis, but he's just teaching you, like, he'll even have you, which isn't hypnotherapy, but like if you have an experience or a person or something that is just really bothering you, he can make you sort of visualize. He'll have you visualize like making them small. Just like if you just even kind of do that, and then he's like, now just step over that person. Imagine they're like an ant, and then just do that. And he's like, now is it really that big of a deal?
Right.
Or I'll say like drain the color out of it, or you know.
I like that. Drain the color out of it.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of red when you're angry and shit.
Yeah. Totally.
Wow, that's a great story. Thank you. I appreciate
Thanks
you coming
for having
on.
Me.
Yeah, this is great.
Sorry if it was a little roundabout.
No,
but
I understand now why you told it that way, because that's how you discovered it. You then went back to put the pieces together, be like, oh, this bitch is the one that's fueled all this madness. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's all, I mean, it's all good now. Now I got street cred. I could join a gang.
I don't know about that.
The options are endless.
Let's stay away from the gangs here at your mom's house. I don't know if you know about the, but that's all I'm going to say. So.
Shit.
Will you please one more time, anything you'd like to promote, your links, your social media, all that stuff?
Oh, yeah. You can find tickets to my shows at RachelO'BrienComedy.com, and Rachel spelled R-A-C-H-A-E-L. And then my social media is just Rachel N. O'Brien. It reads like Rachel No Brian. And my podcast, Be Here for a While.
All right.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on. As always, I'm RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. Talk to you all next week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.